General Electric halts pensions for thousands of employees. From Marketplace in Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams in for David Brancaccio. General Electric announced this morning that it's freezing its U.S. pension plan for about 20,000 salaried workers. It's an effort to pare down the company's debt. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me now live here in Washington. And Nancy, what are the details here?
Well, GE says the pension freeze will cut its pension deficit by $5 to $8 billion, lower its net debt by $4 to $6 billion. The freeze will affect the workers you mentioned, Kimberly, plus some executives who were eligible for supplementary pension benefits. GE is also going to offer about 100,000 former workers who haven't started getting monthly pension checks the option to receive a lump sum instead. GE says there will be no change for retirees who are already getting pension benefits.
So how is this freeze going to work?
Well, it's scheduled to take effect January 1st, 2021. After that, workers in the frozen pension plans won't accrue any more benefits, won't be able to make any more contributions. Instead, they'll be moved into 401k plans. And by the way, GE's pension plan has been closed to new employees for the past 7 years. GE's pension plan restructuring comes at a tough time. GE removed its former CEO, John Flannery, last year after he'd only been on the job for a year.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thanks.
You're welcome.
And there are other numbers out this morning from the National Association for Business Economics. The group does a monthly survey of top economic forecasters. And for this month's survey, the panelists predicted GDP growth will fall below 2% next year for the first time since 2016. For more on this, I'm joined by Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Good morning.
Good morning.
So you are on the panel of economists that is surveyed for these new numbers. Tell us more about them.
Yeah, so there are growth expectations have come down, and they've come down both for this year, which we don't have a lot of this year left, but they've also come down more significantly for growth now expected to be below 2% in 2020. And rising concerns, the majority of respondents expect the economy to enter a recession by the end of 2020.
So what else will be weighing on the markets today?
We have indications out of China that they are seeking to narrow the scope of trade talks. This is, of course, not what the U.S. wants, and sort of highlights the difficulties of getting to any kind of significant trade deal. And that seems to be weighing on sentiment at the start of the week.
Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives. Thank you.
Thank you.
If a jail inmate needs medical care while they're in custody, the jail is usually responsible for footing the bill. But a recent investigation revealed some jail officials have found a way to avoid paying. According to reporting by the Alabama Media Group and ProPublica, some jails are releasing inmates just before they receive treatment and rearresting them after. The term for this is medical bond, and Connor Sheets broke this story. Connor, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
So how are jails using medical bond?
Yeah, so medical bond is kind of a catch-all term for a range of practices that sheriffs are using to let inmates who are in their county jails, let them go, release them from their custody when they're in the throes of medical crisis in order to avoid having to pay their hospital bills once they're released.
How common is this?
Fairly common. I mean, across the country, we found 25 states from Nebraska to Arizona to West Virginia that are using the practice.
In the course of your reporting, you actually got your hands on a recording of how this plays out in real life. Let's listen to a little bit of that.
What you want, Dave?
See if Chatham is free and see if they'll run her out to the emergency room. Say she had insurance.
Say
she had Medicaid.
Okay, I'll see if they are, but as sick as she is with her throwing up...
Connor, what are we hearing there?
All right, so what you're hearing is there's a woman named Tracy Weaver. She was an inmate in the Washington County Jail in southern Alabama, facing a very minor charge, a drug charge, and she was throwing up profusely. Blood pressure was way out of control. It turned out later that they found out she had been having a stroke, a severe stroke. She ended up dying, and before they took her to the hospital 1.5 miles down the road, jail staff sort of had this long conversation about how they could avoid paying for her medical bills, either by figuring out if Medicaid could pay for it or if she had private insurance or something like that. And, you know, that delay when you have a stroke is obviously can be the matter of life and death.
This all comes down to sort of the cost of medical care for these inmates and who has to carry that cost. What are you hearing from the local police departments and county sheriffs about this?
Yeah, so I mean, I've spoken with a number of county sheriffs across the state, and, you know, all of them feel that, you know, they're underfunded, you know, like almost any other agency. But the issue here is that inmates have a constitutional right to certain types of care while in jail. And advocates say, well, if you can't afford to pay for their medical care and they're not a danger to society, as demonstrated by the fact that they're being released right before they go to the hospital, why are they even being incarcerated in the first place?
Connor Sheets is an investigative reporter with Alabama Media Group, reporting on this story as part of ProPublica's local reporting network. Connor, thank you.
Thank you so much.
In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.